You're listening to the Legacy Church podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Legacy. Good to see you. Middle of summer. Middle of summer cheer. Amy, loving the heat. I had a guy yesterday say, I said, I'm loving the summer. He looked at me, he said, it's too hot. And oh, my goodness. I'll ask you that same question in February. Wow. You know, anyways, good stuff. Yesterday was an amazing day together. Those that were able to get out and go be a part of Serve Day, we just had a lot of fun. We're talking pop-up parties, just impromptu pop-up party at an apartment complex. We were able to serve a family whose both the husband and wife were diagnosed with two life-threatening illnesses and are right now in two different hospitals. And so their neighbor who attends Legacy called us, said, is there any way we could come in and help with their yard and do some things? And so that was a project we were able to be a part of. Our kids went across the street and served over at the seniors, at the Guardian Angel across the street, did some of that. Exciting stories and connection with people. It was a lot of fun, and we thought we'd capture. We had a videographer on site, and he captured some of the scenes, so check it out. It was so much fun, and just appreciated all of those of you that participated, leaders that got involved. I mean, just a lot of moving parts there, and we'll do that. That will be something we do yearly, a Serve Day, but we want to create, of course, a serve culture here at Legacy that goes beyond just a once a year event. We want to have a culture of serving. In fact, if you study the values of our church, of this fellowship, it's we just want to do anything short of sin to introduce people to Jesus and find a way to connect with people and lead them to Christ. And getting out in community is certainly one of the most critical ways to do that. And so inside your program, you'll see this paper. If you'd pull that out for just a second, I want to draw your attention to it, because what I want us to do, where do we go from here? I think where we go from here is we have an opportunity to create a culture, to create a culture of serving. And it just takes people that have that kind of DNA in your heart. You want to be on the front end of maybe being a part of something like this on an ongoing basis. Now, so don't let this paper scare you. This doesn't commit you to anything. It just says, you know what? Something like Serve Day, being out in community, that resonates with my spirit. That resonates with my heart. And I'd love to be a part of just future outreach opportunities or planning some of those, or connect groups, getting people connected to go out and do some things. So if that is you in any way, just indicate that. Drop this in the giving box on your way out as well, and I'll be in touch with you. I'm looking for a team. I'm looking to create creative teams, outreach teams, people that want to be a part of this together. So this will be a lot of fun, and so I hope if that resonates with you, sign up. That would be awesome. We're in the middle of a series, Above the Noise, hearing the voice that matters most. And there's really two things as we launch into today's talk that I wanted to just give as just setting the tone for, or maybe almost a clarification, a word of clarification. And that is, as we're seeking to hear God and to posture and poise our lives to hear God, that really there's two things that I think that we've got to hear, that we've got to know. Number one is that when we talk about seeking new ways to hear God, that it's not about some sort of mystical way to hear God or some kind of newfangled approach. And if we do this and we posture ourselves this way, it's not seeking signs, it's seeking Him. Does that make sense? We're not seeking signs, we're seeking Him. We want to draw close to Him, and we want to hear His heart and hear His voice, and it's all about Him. And the second just sort of word for us as we launch into today is it's that his word, his known word, the scripture, is the heartbeat, is the way he speaks to us. It is the standard that we go to. So for example, Figgy comes up to me, he says, Gary, I got a word for you, man. I just feel like God laid in my heart a burden for you. And he shares something with me. He just feels like it's from God for me. And then I'm gonna say, thank you, Figgy, that's awesome. And I'm gonna make sure that lines up with the word of God, right? The known word. And so that's just some things. We just wanna keep that. We've mentioned that every week, that's the primary. That's the standard, the rule that we go to is the word of God. And so we're seeking him, and the standard is his word. Today, all that said, today we're going to talk about another way that God speaks to us. We've talked about through desire and delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, how God speaks through doors, how God speaks through people, of course, how God speaks through his word. Today, we're going to talk about how God speaks through promptings. And this, honestly, is one of my favorite ways that God speaks. I think I would just say kind of buckle your seatbelt and get ready. I want to talk about how God speaks through Holy Spirit promptings. You can call them God promptings. You can call them nudges. Doesn't sound very theological. You can call them impressions. I just got an impression on my heart, or you sense a direction or a leading, or maybe there's a little bit of a restlessness in your heart, or an idea that you just can't seem to shake. Something maybe that's leading you to step out in faith in some way, maybe to say something or to do something, to respond in a way, something you've never done before, where you're just sensing a nudge outside of your comfort zone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you're being nudged. It's like, wow, I don't know. I don't think I could do that. I don't know that that's me. Maybe it shakes you beyond status quo. It's a motivation maybe to stop something or start something or change something in your life. And the Holy Spirit is right at the center of it. Maybe it's a nudge to pray. And if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to pray, you ought to pray. Or the Holy Spirit's nudging you to serve, then you ought to serve. Or to give, then you ought to give. He's setting you up by this prompting, by this nudge. And I want to just encourage you today as we step into this, that just be ready. Because my sense is even today, and he doesn't just nudge, by the way, in the four walls of a building of the church. But it could come in conversation. It could come as you're reading the Bible. It could come in the shower, in your car on your way to work, or sitting at your desk. The Holy Spirit would just begin to nudge you, begin to prompt you towards something. I would venture to say that the greatest things that happen in your Christian walk will come as you heed the promptings of God in your life. This is where the great adventure begins. When we develop our life in such a way in him where we position ourselves and posture ourselves to just be responsive and responsible with what he's giving to us, the great adventure begins. Get ready. He's going to nudge you. He's going to call you to maybe something unique, something different, or maybe a life change, maybe some decisions that you need to consider. I think about Nehemiah in Scripture. Nehemiah got a report, and the Bible is full of them, full of examples of this. Nehemiah got a report that the walls around Jerusalem were broken down. And when he heard the report that his people were compromised and they were scattered, and it was just a horrible time for Jerusalem, that the Bible says he wept. And he cried, went to the king, said, is there any way I could just go down there and go see and assess what's going on? And he did, and he recognized this. He recognized he couldn't leave it as it was. He recognized that he needed to make a change. He needed to do something more than just see it and just kind of walk away. It all began, and then, of course, rebuilds, and there's this amazing story that takes place, the rescue of a people. That began with a prompting, Right? Begin with a prompting. I think David's the same way, right? We know that David, doing the mundane, right? Son, his dad said, go and deliver the cheese to the front lines. Go see how your brothers are doing and bring back a report. That's all he was supposed to do. Go down, deliver the cheese. Goes to the front lines, notices there's tension in the ranks, notices that the armies of God are literally in this moment of fear. They're frozen in fear. And then he hears the voice of a rebellious, obstinate giant by the name of Goliath, who is defaming the name of God. Blasphemy. I mean, just it's the worst thing possible in David's ears. And he hears this, and something in him says, you know what? I can't leave this like this. He's a young man. And so we know the story. David, you know, he grabs his stones and he goes and takes out the Goliath. But back up before that, there was nobody that went up to David and said, hey, you can take this guy out. I know it. Nobody was encouraging David to take action, which leads me to believe there was a prompting in his heart that said, I can't leave this like it is. I've got to do something about it. See, that's a prompting. You see something, you sense something, and you want to begin to do something about it. And I believe what was true then is true today. There is a God prompting. God is prompting us to deeper places, I think to greater possibilities, to bigger dreams. And it's not just for those people out there or for the spiritual people or for the people that have been around the church a long time. I believe God wants to speak to the heart of his people, and you is one. I think ministries that are most impactful, that are seeing God's favor, where maybe generosity that's accelerating the mission of God to the world, where people are making an eternal difference, all of those things begin with a Holy Spirit prompting. I like this. The Bible puts it this way, and I think it's a key to those who respond. It says in Isaiah 30, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or left, your ears are going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Your ears will hear a voice saying, this is the way. At about now 13 years of age, I went to a camp. I believe in camps. I believe in high school camps. I believe in youth camp. I believe our kids, every kid needs to go to camp. And I grew up in going to camp, and we were at Big Bear, we were at Camp Sealy, and I'll never forget it. The counselors had planned this night blind walk. Now we probably couldn't get away with this today, but they did then. They put blindfolds on all the campers. They had this massively long rope. I've told this before. And they said, okay, everybody line up. And it was like a line of 150, 200 campers. And we were all just supposed to grab onto the rope, leave a little space between. Blindfold, can you see? No, I can't see. Okay, grab. All right. And then let's begin. But the key was you have to be absolutely quiet. And if you couldn't do that, then they'd pull you out of line. And I'm not sure what they did with you. But so we walk along, we're on this blind walk, and you're kind of doing this, you know, skimming along. And just as we're walking in the quiet, we're going up, and you know, we're climbing a little bit. I can sense the terrain changing. And all of a sudden ahead, I begin to hear a whisper. And the closer I get, it becomes more pronounced. All of a sudden, I'm there at whatever the obstacle is at the road, and I hear okay, Gary, you have to lift your leg, lift your leg. Okay. I'm stepping over a stump that's laid over right in the room. Okay, lift your leg. Okay, now, all right, now the other one. Okay, great. All right, and you stumble along. I'm going. And we're twisting and turning. Okay, move over to the, and if you'd feel brush hit your face, and okay, be careful now. And then that voice. They were teaching us how to hear and discern the voice of the Spirit of God. as a young boy. And I remember on that walk, in the middle of that blind walk, I began to cry. Every time I heard the voices, I began to get it. I said, oh, this is how the Spirit of God would speak to my life. This is how I would avoid danger and trouble. This is how, if I'm willing to listen, blind trust walk, that voice, this is the way, walk in it. Another way to say that, God's saying, here's what I want you to do. This is the way I want you to go. This is the person I'm calling you to become. This is the ministry I want you to begin. There's a power in a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what, there's power in one prompting, one single prompting of the Spirit of God. It was in 1958, there was in Life magazine, there was an article about some young teenage boys out of New York City. They were a gang, and they killed an innocent young boy, and it was horrible. And the nation read it, and the nation was gripped with a kind of anger, and wanted to see these boys come to justice. But when that magazine hit the hands of a young pastor from rural Pennsylvania by the name of David Wilkerson, he began to weep. He read that, he couldn't put it down, he couldn't shake it. He realized that, you know, he couldn't get it out of his mind. And eventually moved his family from Pennsylvania to New York City, located themselves right in the heart of New York City with a passion to reach the gangs, teenage gangs of the inner city of New York. Started a ministry there, you might be familiar with it, called Teen Challenge. Started Teen Challenge, wrote a book called The Cross and the Switchblade, led a young gangster by the name of Nicky Cruz to Christ, and just began, started a church called Times Square Church. I mean, on and on it goes. Began with a single prompting. So when he read the article, he couldn't shake it, and it began something that would change, that had an eternal impact for generations to come, and it still continues today, even though he's gone to be with Jesus. That's the kind of life. That's the kind of impact I want to have. How about you? I want to do something that's going to make an eternal impact for Christ. Do you ever wonder, how can I live with that kind of purpose and effectiveness and intentionality? Do you ever wonder, how can I make an eternal impact, or how can I live my life to fulfill God's intended purposes for my life? I think God wants to position you and me in just the right place, at just the right time, to make an eternal impact. Just the right, think about where you work. Think about where you go to coffee. Think about where you live. Think about where your third space is. Think about your gym, all of those places. God, could it be that God's positioned you there for such a time? I think timing is everything. Ephesians 5:16 says, "See then," Paul speaking, "that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Walk circumspectly. Walk with an awareness of what's going on around you. Redeeming the time means making the most of every opportunity. I want to make the most of every opportunity. And let me just say right up front, I don't always. In fact, I probably miss more than I make. I want to hear those promptings by the Spirit of God, and I want to respond to them. I want to make the most of every opportunity. I recognize that I miss some, but the ones that I do catch, that I do respond to, have the potential to make an eternal impact in somebody's life. I believe that. I think when we respond, it begins, let me say it again, I think it begins the great adventure. I think it begins the great adventure. I think we're sitting in a place, in a fellowship of believers right now, that's the beginning of a great adventure. we're 20 months into Legacy Church and we're on a great adventure. You just got to know that. Like, oh, is it just, do you guys think you got it all figured out? And the answer is no. The answer is no. We're blown away daily by the people that God is sending here to jump in. They're saying, we're all in. We're here. We're here to get on mission. What do you need? What we believe God wants to do something in this city and outward in this region. It began with a prompting. Holy Spirit prompting. So let me do this today. I want to give you three simple ways. Taking advantage. How do I take advantage of God's promptings? How do I take advantage of Holy Spirit? How do I position my life to hear and to respond? How do I live my life in such a way to make an eternal difference? I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to place ourselves in the line of fire. You got to place yourself. I know that's a cute movie title, and I honestly don't know the movie, but I will say this. I saw firsthand, I went back and watched when there was an assassination attempt on President Reagan, and I watched these Secret Service men not duck like I might have, they didn't do this. They did this. They leaned toward the president to get in the line of fire. The position I want you to remember today, as awkward as it looks, what I'm saying today is we need to position ourselves in the line of fire of where God is speaking. I got to position my, listen, when you get up every Sunday morning and you make a decision, or maybe you make it on Saturday night, whenever you make it, when you say, you know what, we're going to church. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to be there. We're going to be faithful. What you're saying is you're doing this. You're going to put yourself in the line of fire. You're putting your kids, you got kids in kitchen, you're putting them in the line of fire where they can hear what God is saying. I'm saying place yourself in environments where God can use you, where get outside your comfort zone, step into the current, get some forward motion in your life. God speaks loudest, I believe, when we have forward motion in our lives, when we're getting in the game, we're showing up. I think Serve Day was a great case in point. I'm just gonna get out there. I don't know what we're gonna do, but let's go. Let's go serve people. We got to serve families that needed some help. People were painting lines, pop-up parties, painting faces, kids smiling. It was being able to be Jesus to a community, right? And here's what we were doing. Just keep that picture in your mind today, okay? We're just leaning in, right? Getting in the line of fire, making crafts for the kids, made crafts and went across the street. I mean, whatever it might be, joining the impact teams of Legacy Church. So, and by the way, impact teams at Legacy are all of our ministry areas, our worship band, our tech team, our ushers, greeters, Legacy Kids, anybody that's serving in this capacity, from this fellowship is a part of the impact teams. But I'm saying don't do it because, they need volunteers. I'm saying do it because you want to get your life in the line of fire. You want to get into the current. You want to get into the flow of what God's doing and saying. Maybe giving's the same way. I think tithing is the same principle. It's saying, you know what? I'm jumping into that not because I think Legacy needs some. No, I think I'm doing that because I want to get into the line of blessing of what God's doing. God says, test me in this. I love what Matthew 25, 23 says. It says, talking about the parable of the talents. His master said to him is the guy that multiplied his talents, gave it away, invested it. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful with little. One of my dear friends, a pastor on the peninsula, has this culture in his church that he's developed, that kids ministry. He says, Gary, honestly, I used to think his ministry was kind of the least, and like, okay, yeah, you know, that's a ministry you got to have in your church. He says, honestly, I don't think any of us are qualified to do kids' ministry the way Jesus wants us to do kids' ministry. So when they throw a party in community, which we're going to do, by the way, August 23rd, I think it is. August, I can't see that, 4th, 24th. I mean, it's like, it's all in. It's, I mean, we're all going because we suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven is massive. So as we're faithful in the little things, the big, everything in between, we're placing ourselves in the line of fire to make our lives, to have an eternal impact. Secondly, I think we need to quiet other voices in our lives so that his is loudest. So how do I respond to the Holy Spirit promptings? I think we need to quiet the other voices. It's loud out there. It requires a deepened sensitivity to him to be able to listen well. So I would ask you the question, how are your listening skills? I will tell you right now on a very practical level, and you can pray for me, I got to keep working on my listening skills, because I could be listening and I might even be looking at you. I hate to confess this. I might even be looking at you. My wife says, I can tell you didn't hear one word I just said, did you? I don't know what gives it away. Because I may be thinking about that, or thinking about how I want to respond back. What are your listening skills like? But see, we're talking about listening, hearing the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Remember that listening test we used to take, put the headphones on? Remember? Yeah. What's interesting about that test is that the key to that test is focus, right? So focus, yeah. You just focus. Everything's quiet. So I can hear. So I can assess. The modern technology is pretty awesome. I served as a worship pastor for years. And there was a day. Thank God this day is mostly passed. There was a day when the band used to have floor monitors on the stage. I mean, remember that? Floor monitors, wedges on the stage, and the band would play. And during the rehearsal, you know, you'd hear comments like, hey, I need more of whatever in the monitor, you know, and it's louder and louder, and the sound's bouncing off the back wall, and it's just this muddy sound of chaos. Now we have in-ear monitoring. It's wonderful. The band has a little pack. They put the in-ears on. And in that, if you've ever wondered what they hear in there, they can hear whatever they want to hear. They can hear more of the bass player. They can hear more of the drummer. They can hear the worship lead. They can hear the keyboards. Turn it up, turn it down. But the most important thing they need to hear in their ears is, guess what? The most important thing they need to hear is this. And it about sounds like that, too. It's called the click. So even when they're talking, hey, good morning, Legacy. Good to see you at church. We're so glad you're here. There's this thing going on in the back of your head like, oh, man. I ran out of that grave. That thing's just going. And the whole band, listen, they're all playing and they're listening to it. And they can tell when somebody's not in sync with the click. And you look at the person, are you listening to the click? The drummer can even get off the click. Does a roll, da 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 da, and he's off the click every time. Not Kevin, sorry. But when there's synchronization, see what it's like? Everybody comes back to the click. You got to turn everything else down. You tell that person, you need to turn the click up. you need to turn the click up. And the band begins to move towards that meter. And when the band moves towards that meter, let me tell you what, as a leader and as somebody's playing the band, all of a sudden, when you're in sync with the meter and everybody's in sync, all of a sudden, this crazy thing happens. It's like it. And then all of a sudden, you get to enjoy the nuance of the song. And especially as a worship leader, you just get to talk to, you just get to worship, lean into the song, hear the heartbeat of Jesus. It's an amazing thing that happens. And I began to think about that. I began to think, how like that is the Holy Spirit. When he's speaking to the church, there's a meter. There's a meter in the fellowship. God wants to move his church in a direction. He's speaking to us individually. And sometimes you look, you see somebody in the church who's frustrated, angry, complaining about whatever. You know, not this church, of course. I'm just in general, I'm speaking. But you realize you don't got your ear monitors in. You're not hearing the click. You're not hearing the click. In fact, the loneliest place to be on the stage in a band is when your battery goes out on your pack. And it's like, now you're in a vacuum. You have no idea what's going on. It's just this strange thing happens. I got to turn down the other voices so I can hear the one that matters most. I have to turn down the noise. When you're out of sync with the mission of the church, you're out of sync with the mission. If your in-ears are out, if you're not moving in chorus with the Spirit of God, you're missing. You're not hearing. It makes for frustrated church people. When you're aligned with the Spirit, you step in sync with the Spirit. And when you're there, you can enjoy the nuances of the church. Yes, this one's not like that one, this one. But there's something special and unique about the presence of God and the body of Christ. When it comes together, you can just begin to function and participate because you're hearing the click of his Spirit speaking to us and moving us in chorus together. God synchronizes, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So you want to live your life to make an eternal impact, you want to better hear his promptings, then place yourself in the line of fire, quiet the other noises, and finally, you just got to do what he says. Do what he says. There's really not any other, it's not a complicated way to just do what he says. Determine that you can't leave things as they are, that there's a reason why the Holy Spirit is nudging you. Here's what I want to say. I want to encourage you. Thank God for the nudging. I think sometimes what keeps us from being most effective in our Christian walk is status quo living. Let me say it this way. This is what I do when I get up. This is my rhythm. This is how I drive to work and what I listen to. This is my lunch. This is my, and when I drive home and when I get home, this is what I do. And I have a rhythm and I'm really happy, excited about my rhythm. This is what I do. And I don't like things that shift me and take me out of my rhythm. And then all of a sudden there's a Holy Spirit nudge that doesn't fit in the rhythm. Now what am I supposed to do with that? I hope somebody at the church responds to that. Doesn't fit my rhythm. Determine you can't leave things as they are. Seek godly counsel. Say, man, God's calling me to do, I sense a nudge, but I just want to bounce it off you. I think there are ministries yet to be developed. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say right in this room, that's a nudge. And it's a nudge that doesn't seem to go away. I've had people come up to me and say, were you reading out of my journal? You're speaking, it's like you're reading something out of my, it's a nudge, hello? And the nudge will keep coming until we do something with it. Or you'll just get put off by it and say, you know what? Ah. Pray. Then do it. Then build it. Then begin it. Step out in it. All the pieces may not come together right away, and we planted a church in inner city Detroit. We honestly couldn't wait for all the pieces to come into place. We loaded our four babies in the car and drove from Auburn, Washington to Detroit, Michigan, planted an inner city church. And Jesus met us there. Don't miss the divine appointment. I think as parents, it's discerning the teachable moments, the promptings, that can turn into defining moments for your kids. We do a lot of group text as a family that communicate. Everybody's kind of everywhere doing their thing, and came across my feed this week, or my phone. Patty was sending a note out to the kids. After I read it, I called her and I said, "Hey, would you mind if I shared this on Sunday?" It was in response to a prompting that she had, and she wrote, she texted everybody, and all our kids know that when mom sends a text, it's going to be, you know. She wrote, "This was my theme scripture as you kids were growing up. You may remember it hanging in our laundry room. I'm praying it over each one of your families, even including your children, Bradley, yet to be born." He's our only unmarried. He's in school. "I pray our kids will never just wear the label of Christian, but that each one will be radical followers of Christ in a gray world, loving him fiercely at their core." And she gave the scripture. "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God." And text messages started coming back. "Thanks, Mom. Thank you. Needed that today." It's just following a prompting, right? And you could do that at home. You could do that at work. You could do that, "Hey, I was reading this and made me think about you." It's just stepping out. See, what causes us not to step out in those moments is fear. Causes us not to step out in those moments is, "I don't want to feel awkward. I don't want them to feel like I'm imposing on them. If it's to share with somebody or talk to somebody, I don't know. I don't want to look foolish. I don't like to look silly. Maybe past hurt. Maybe too preoccupied with my own problems to discern God's prompting, so we fail to step out in faith. We ignore the prompting. I'm saying listening to those whispers and obeying them can turn an ordinary day into the adventure of a lifetime. It could even save somebody's life." It could save somebody's life. Place yourself in the line of fire. Quiet the other voices. And then do what he says. It was uncle or cousin Mordecai who said to Queen Esther, "Who knows but for such a time as this, God has placed you in the position that you're in to save a potential genocide of a people." I want to look back at Legacy Church and say this: who knows but for such a time as this that God placed Legacy Church right here and right now, right here and right now. And I want to live circumspectly. I want to hear as best I can. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I know I miss some. I know I miss some. I know I'm a knucklehead at times. I called my brother the other day, and I close with this. He called me. Walking through a crisis. Been walking through it for a long time. My response to him was, "Brother Pastor, well, what you ought to do, brother, is you ought to blah, blah, blah," waxing elephants, telling him my bit of wisdom. "Well, that's easy. As a matter of fact, I think," and I'm sure it was with much more sensitivity than that. I might be exaggerating that a little bit. But it was words of advice, and then I hung up. I said, "Okay, hey, I got to go." How many of you have these moments? "Hey, I got to go," and you hang up, and you go, "Ah." All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit goes, "Why didn't you pray for him? Ah." I picked my phone up. I called him. I said, "Hey, bro, 2 times in one day, man." He goes, "What's up?" I said, "I was supposed to pray for you." "Forgive me, I was supposed to pray for you." And when I obeyed that nudge, it wasn't a token prayer. Something different happened in that prayer with my brother. I felt it. I felt like when I prayed for my brother in that moment, it pleased the Lord. Like maybe my answer before I prayed for him was, there was some pride mixed in, like figure it out or whatever. But when I prayed for him in response to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, life changed, right? Something deeper happened. Something more eternal took place. That's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit nudges today. The most important nudge of all is the nudge that says, you need to give your heart to Jesus, surrender to him. He loves you. He paid the price for your sin. I remember as a 7-year-old boy being in church, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think 4 years in a row, I raised my hand to receive Jesus as Lord. I wanted to be Lord of my life. It began with a nudge. How do you know you're being nudged? Sometimes your heart feels like it's beating out of your chest. Anybody know what I'm saying? Your palms maybe get a little sweaty. Maybe you feel a little anxious. You just step into the current and say, "God, okay, I want to surrender my life to you." In fact, why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes? Is that maybe true in your life today? You would say, "You know what? Gary, would you include me in your closing prayer?" I will tell you, I'm not going to have you come forward or stand or embarrass you in any way. It's a private decision between you and God. You say, "I want to dedicate my life to Christ. I want to serve him. I sense his nudging. And I want to respond today and invite him into my heart." If that's you, would you lift your hand up? Just put it right back down. Thank you. Right up here. Thank you in the back. Amen. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome, awesome. I just want to ask this question. How many of you, again, nobody looking around, but you've sensed a nudging, and you know it's by the Holy Spirit, toward an action, whatever that might be. You know he's nudging you in an area. If that's you, just would you lift your hand up, put it right down. I want to pray for you. Yeah. Wow, a lot. Maybe it's a deeper place. Maybe whatever it might be. Lord Jesus, you see these hands. Those, first of all, that would lift their hand to say, "I want Jesus to be Lord of my life." That prompting, being obedient to that prompting, Lord. And I just cheer them on and I say, "Yes, best decision, best response you'll ever make." It's the beginning point. It's the starting point to say yes to Jesus. So Lord, I pray you would strengthen, you would equip, give hope. Lord, may we as a church surround their lives and help them with the next steps in their journey of faith. And then, Lord, for those who lifted their hands because you've been nudging in an area for a direction, I pray even this week, Lord, we would redeem the time, make the most of every opportunity, Lord, that this week, we'd step into the line of fire and respond in obedience to what you're saying. And I pray that at that moment, Lord, your Holy Spirit would infuse something you would do something, Lord, that they didn't even expect or anticipate. And I know that's your heart, Lord. Your heart is to redeem. So do that, Lord, I pray. And I thank you. Thank you for your word, God, that shapes us and changes us. Thank you for the anchor that we have, that you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name.